Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
You're going to be wrong for 3 days, big voice guy, saying it's Bill Michaels at the top of every hour. It's Robbie Maklouf in for Bill Michaels for the next 3 days here on the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. If you're in the Milwaukee area or you listen to the Wendy's Big Show on radio.com, you may remember me from my days at 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee. Later this hour, we'll hear from David Bakhtiari, who visited my old show, The Big Show, in Milwaukee. But joining us right now on the Schneider Orange Hotline to talk about the Big Ten's decision to return to the college football field is Pete Futak from collegefootballnews.com. Pete, how are you this afternoon, man?
Happy. You know, we have Big Ten football coming back. I've lived pretty much my entire life on or around a Big Ten campus. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of other issues and concerns. But for right now, I'm just kind of enjoying it. Yay,
okay.
We get to possibly see this happen again.
I'm happy too, Pete. I'm happy too. I said at the beginning of the show, I want as many sports played as possible. Like, even the sports I don't watch. I want the MLS back. I want it all back. I just want everybody to have as normal a life back as they can possibly have. But I have some concerns about the Big Ten returning. And what I said at the beginning of the show was this. When they shut it down, I was borderline shocked because I don't expect the NCAA or any of their subsidiaries to turn away money. I thought things had to be really, really bad for them to just call off the football season. Now, if something changed, I'm totally okay with getting these kids back on the football field. So what has changed for the Big Ten to make this decision, Pete Futak?
I have been a Big Ten apologist from the start, and I think all the arguments, all the complaints, all these things, it's been the wrong game almost that everyone is playing. They're, like you said, they're assuming that a billion-dollar company thinks it's good business to not take hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right.
And so the Big Ten, I actually think, and it's the strangest part about this is, no one buys what might be the truth, which is that the Big Ten presidents were actually worried about player safety. Like, I'm a little more skeptical than that. I always kind of thought that the timing of things had to do with when some tuition money came in and other factors and certainly liability things. But at the same time, I do think that they actually were concerned that, look, we don't have this. Now, it does depend on risk tolerances and things like that. And it's kind of hard, though, on the backdrop of everything else. Like, of course I want Big Ten football back. I run a college football website, and I love the sport. But at the same time, look, I went to Wisconsin, and, you know, they're on a two-week lockdown. They were in Michigan State's on a two-week lockdown. Ohio State's canceling spring break. Illinois's got an outbreak, even though it's done everything right. Michigan students are taking their classes from dorms. It's not like the schools themselves have this. It's not like they have this figured out. The one game changer, and this is the one misstep the Big Ten made, is they didn't do what the Pac-12 did, which was come out with why they're not doing, why they had postponed. The Pac-12 just flat out said, we don't trust these tests. We don't think we've got reliable enough tests to do this. And the Big Ten had the same thought, but now things have changed. Now you have the rapid advancement in tests that, you know, the older ones just had too many false positives, and they think that this one's going to be a whole lot better, more reliable, safe, you know, cheaper, the whole thing. And they've done enough research on the myocarditis side to think, okay, we might be able to do this. So, all right, let's just hope it's all safe and happens, but we're going to have to kind of trust them at this point.
So, but you are giving them your trust, or at least benefit of the doubt, that they're returning to football because they feel like it's safe to return to football and not because of public or political pressure or the hundreds of millions of dollars that they are set to lose.
Oh, two different things. I absolutely think they're returning because of the hundreds of millions of dollars they're going to lose, except the problem with that, though, is there's not going to be fans in the stands. They're not getting that money. They're getting the TV money. Football will be fine, but, you know, canceling a bunch of other, keeping other sports canceled is going to still be on. But in terms of the pressure, no. It's the big freaking 10. I mean, people kind of underestimate what a massive corporation this is in terms of dollar amounts and what it does. And it doesn't, like I kept saying to everyone, oh, this is a PR disaster. Like, okay, so, you know, who cares? Everyone's begging for the product. Everyone's going to come right back. It's not like Ohio State fans are going to go jump ship and go root for another school. You know, everyone's going to come back. Everyone's a Big Ten fan. And they're just trying to figure out how to do this the best way possible. So they want the money, and they think they can kind of do this. And, all right, let's go from there.
And they're kind of doing this really without any sort of safety net. They plan on 14 schools playing 8 games in 8 weeks. Now, I know you're not a medical expert or an epidemiologist. You cover college football.
I am one. I've decided I am one. We all.
Do you think it's unrealistic for the Big Ten to think they're going to pull off 14 teams playing 8 games in 8 weeks with no wiggle room? I was ranting earlier in the show that Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball gave themselves no wiggle room in the way that they put together this schedule. And what's a wacky year? And look, I know these are difficult circumstances that all these organizations are working under, but that seems like a risky proposition to me to sort of put this schedule together with no safety net.
I think so. I mean, look, I was giving the Big Ten all sorts of praise and love throughout all this for its original schedule, where they did it right. They had all these built-in fail-safes. They had at least 3 different potential backup plans for weeks that you could have changed around games. You had Michigan and Ohio State going early, so heaven forbid something went wrong, they could play it later. And I've been dogging the SEC throughout all this, where – my gosh, the idea of playing 10 games in 11 weeks and putting Alabama-Auburn on Thanksgiving weekend in the second-to-last game, good luck with that. You know, that's just built for a disaster in terms of scheduling, figuring out the schedule and adjusting things around. 8 games in 8 weeks, Now, I know Barry Alvarez has come out and said that there's going to be this 9th week or championship. I don't think it's championship week. I can't remember what they call it, but championship something. And the two teams that don't play in the conference championship, everyone else gets one extra game. I'm thinking that's going to be kind of that game where you get a team that maybe has got 3 wins and maybe needs a 4th win to get bowl eligible, or however this is going to work. I think that's probably going to turn into more of makeup games than just 2 versus 2, 3 versus 3, and down the line.
Okay, so how are they going to handle this? Talking with Pete Futak of collegefootballnews.com. If there are positive tests, what would shut down the Big Ten? And I know people don't want to hear that, but what's worst case scenario here that would shut down the Big Ten or shut down a program if we start seeing positive tests?
Yeah, shutdown's almost the wrong way to put it. More like pause.
Okay.
Where they're saying is they've got a green zone, green, orange, and red are their color-coded words, and it's something like 0 to 2%. Positive rates, you're in greenish orange zone. 2 to 5, you're in orange zone. And 5% positive test rates mean that the entire football team has to take a timeout for 7 days. So it's not canceled. It's not, they're just saying, okay, team has to take a, has to be off for 7 days. With that said, though, the harsh part about this is the players getting tested. Like right now, if players are tested in for many schools and they come back fine, then okay, you just come back on campus. If a Big Ten player is tested positive, 21 days, boom. That's pretty much going to be at least half the season, depending on when it happens. And so, look, it's. I think that's one, just to be safe, and two, as sort of a kind of an incentive to be like, dudes, don't go to that house party. You know, just, you know, don't do things, you know, don't go on a party bus. Don't go doing crazy college, you know, student stuff. Because if you do and you get it, then you want to play, well, you're out 3 weeks if you get tested positive.
Pete, that party bus pulls up in front of your dorm. It's hard to say no, man. It's hard to turn that down. Even in the middle of a pandemic, you're a 19, 20-year-old kid, party bus pulls in front of the house or the dorms. And
you... I'm twice that age, and if a party bus pulls up right now, I'm popping off. Forget it.
One more for you, Pete. What does this do in terms of the Big Ten's place in the college football playoff with an 8-game schedule? Will they still get consideration of the playoff committee, or have they been eliminated?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
No, absolutely. There's no way. The college football playoff is going to adapt and adjust as it goes along, and it said from the start, their job is to just judge whoever's playing. And so, okay, if we've got, you know, 30 teams playing, we're going to take the four best teams out of the 30. If we've got, you know, 90 teams playing now, which is what it's going to be with the Big Ten coming back, all right, we're going to still go with it. If a Big Ten team goes 9-0 with the Big Ten championship, it is absolutely 100% rock solid lock going to be in the college football playoff.
That is Pete Futak, collegefootballnews.com. You can follow him at Pete Futak on Twitter and a guest frequently right here on the Bill Michaels Show. Great stuff, Pete. Thanks a lot, man.
Anytime. You have a good one.
And Pete Futak joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. They're hiring drivers right now. They work hard, you work hard, and they treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Give them a call at 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, hear from Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari. You're listening to the Bill Michaels Show on the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
September's a great month. You're kind of making the switch from summer to fall. You can switch to sustainable, locally produced and locally refined ethanol as the fuel for your car as well. We get to see the fuel we're using for our cars all winter. It's standing tall right now, waiting for harvest. Drive anywhere in Wisconsin. You're going to see the tall corn drying out in the fields right now. That is fuel. Renewable, sustainable, locally produced and refined fuel. It's Wisconsin jobs, farmers, transporters, refinery workers, thousands and thousands of jobs, and all you got to do is complete the circle. Choose unleaded 88 if your car is newer than 18 years of age, or go to E85 if your car or truck has E85 badging on the back or on the gas cap. And a good portion of the corn grown right here in the upper Midwest, specifically grown for ethanol as a motor fuel. And for all the myths, and to dispel all of them and get the facts, go to abetterfuel.org. That is abetterfuel.org. It's an easy decision when you think about it locally. Visit abetterfuel.org for more information, and don't miss this chance to be an advocate for the farmers and the workers. And again, learn more at abetterfuel.org.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends at Quick Trip. You can enter the Packers opening drive sweepstakes, and you could win a 2021 Chevy Trailblazer. You enter the sweepstakes by purchasing any 20-ounce Coca-Cola or a pothole pizza with your Quick Rewards card at Quick Trip. You purchase both of them at the same time, you get 10 bonus entries. How about that? Each weekly winner is going to have a chance to win $25 per yard and the Packers opening drive. Plus, then you're entered to win the 2021 Chevy Trailblazer. No purchase necessary. See store for details. The Pothole Pizza, the official pizza of your Green Bay Packers, and it is only available at Quick Trip.
Thank you, Bill. Rami Makhlouf in for Bill Michaels this afternoon and the rest of this week. You can follow me on Twitter at Rami is tweeting. That's R-A-M-I-E is tweeting. And download the free radio.com app. Search Bill Michaels Sports. Favorite us and listen to this fine show whenever you are, wherever you are. Also on that free radio.com app. My guys, the Wendy's Big Show on the flagship of the Bill Michaels Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee. You can hear them with David Bakhtiari, Packers left tackle, every Tuesday, and Gary, Sparky, Leroy, those dudes waste no time in asking David Bakhtiari the tough questions about his contract.
I've heard, and I'll say what I've said before. Nothing meaningful has been talked about. So, for me, I'm going into my last year of my contract, and my goal is to make it the most memorable one I can, and the best one.
David Bakhtiari is a really good interview. I was on that show for a long time and interviewed him every week, and he's very good at saying what he wants to say without saying it. You know, sometimes you got to read between the lines because the Packers, they're kind of tight about what they want their players saying into microphones or into the telephone should they be doing an interview like David Bakhtiari on the Wendy's Big Show. So you got to read between the lines a little bit there. And his tone, when he said nothing meaningful, I took that to mean that negotiations are happening, but they're not close yet. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Packers have a history of waving goodbye to offensive linemen as they approach age 30 and just drafting the next one and developing him into a stud. And they've been really pretty successful at doing that for a couple of decades now, almost, of really churning out pretty damn good offensive lines and pretty damn good left tackles. But David Bakhtiari is special, man. You need to make sure that guy is locked up for at least the next 3-4 years, because I don't think his production of protecting the franchise's blind side is going to drop off anytime soon. Give that man his money, as John Malkovich once said. David Bakhtiari also talked with the boys about what it's like to play with no fans to start the off
best
the
way
NFL
I could
season.
Describe it is almost like it's a regular season game with a preseason atmosphere. So you have to get yourself up for a preseason game, knowing the implications of it are a regular season.
That's got to be weird. And we were talking with Tom Pelissero from NFL Network earlier in the show, and he talked about how weird it is covering a game and being in an empty stadium and talking about that it's almost like a high school game. You can hear Aaron Rodgers yelling to the sideline. You can hear his calls and his audibles at the line of scrimmage. And we saw how he's using the hard count. And I think good, smart quarterbacks are going to be doing that a lot this season and taking advantage of some stuff that they couldn't do on the road in a regular NFL season. But if it's weird for Tom Pelissero and these reporters that are covering the NFL, it's got to be weird for these players to go out there and not have the juice of those fans. We've seen in baseball, like, these teams are trying to create their own juice and electricity with a lot of clapping and chanting and festivities in the dugout just to try and bring that electricity and that feeling of playing pro sports. I don't know that with as many guys as you have on an NFL sideline that you can necessarily generate that type of juice and electricity that you're used to having as an NFL. That's got to be a major challenge for these guys. I mean, adrenaline is a big, big part of the sport because you kind of need it to run headfirst into other large men. He also talked about needing to master the run game last year, and it can be difficult in Matt LaFleur's
really
system.
Really just mastering it, getting all guys on the same page early and often. Is key, and it really, when we're talking about that, we're not just talking about the offensive linemen and the running backs. We're talking about the tight ends, the wide receivers, and even the quarterback. The quarterback making sure that we're in the right run based on what the defense shows us. Obviously, offensive linemen hitting their aiming points, IDing it correctly, having the running backs run the right aiming point. And then the big explosives come, really, honestly, they're from the wide receivers for us. You know, we can get the running back to the second level, but to spring the big ones, that's on our wide receivers, and we call them. And we really saw a big step from them on the second half of last year, and they kind of picked up right where they left off. And, you know, we're excited that this running game is complex, but it is very effective.
And that running game was effective last year. And Jones, one of the best running backs in this league. But let's be real, when this Packers offense is hitting on all cylinders, it's because you have A-Rod being A-Rod under center for the Green Bay Packers.
I mean, I have no problem, you know, critiquing Aaron. Like, he looked sharp. He looked decisive. And then, you know, within the certain drives, when you do call pass plays and let the pass rush get a little bit tired, and then you start kind of extending them and letting the coverage break down the back end as the drive, the more plays add up in the series of your current drive, I thought it really helped out, and I think it kind of showed. It was kind of more of a vintage Aaron out there.
And, I mean, the numbers bear it out. The advanced numbers bear it out. Rodgers got rid of the ball under 2.5 seconds more often than every other week one quarterback, and I think that's going to be important to his success, the offense's success, and just keeping him healthy. Like, getting rid of the ball quickly, especially when you already have some problems on the offensive line, is going to be huge for Aaron Rodgers. And that's just sort of the rhythm of Matt LaFleur's offense. Also, he was responsible for 3 of the 10 most difficult completions of the week per Next Gen Stats. Like, Aaron Rodgers was dropping dimes and throwing strikes in that game and looked like Aaron Rodgers again. And the boys on the big show in Milwaukee asked David Bakhtiari how much of this improved Aaron Rodgers that we saw in week one has to do with a happier QB.
He just seems overall just happier. Like, whereas before, you know, he may not really show to many people, you know, how he's feeling or anything until you kind of get more in a closer circle. But I mean, the most part, I mean, he's always got a smile on his face. He's having fun, you know, being who he is. And I mean, maybe I'm just used to him because I've been around him for so long that I don't notice much change from him from years past.
Talked with James Jones earlier in the show, and he said that that was something that was visibly noticeable to him, that the Aaron Rodgers that you heard David Bakhtiari talking about there, that's always smiling, always having fun, always joking with his teammates, sort of wasn't there last year. And James Jones saw that again in training camp and saw that again in week one against the Vikings. And I mean, that storyline can be overplayed to a degree. I mean, ultimately, it comes down to talent and X's and O's and who's going to out-execute the other when you get on a field. But no matter what your line of work, the research has been done time and time again by Forbes and many other businesses and many other publications that analyze business and what has them running at an optimal level. And happy employees is the number one thing at the top of any. If you want your employees to be as productive and as good at their job as they can possibly be, happy employees are the first thing on that list to get that done. So I don't think dismissing Aaron Rodgers, finding some center, finding some happiness, finding some zen in the offseason while he was trapped in his house like the rest of us, I don't think that should necessarily be dismissed. It might be overplayed sometimes. I know you've heard it a lot already, but don't dismiss it. I think that has a big reason to do with why he looks better so far this season. And finally, on playing Detroit this season, David Bakhtiari, or this Sunday, David Bakhtiari had to say this.
You said it right about Detroit, that they do play us up. They are a tough football team. They play hard. It's just they have a hard time getting over that hump of just winning. I mean, you even look at how they lost last week. I saw a clip of it. That's a heartbreaker. But, you know, that they're going to be mad about that. And then, obviously, you know, a division rival. This is a big game for them as well, and we got to make sure we keep stacking success. So we got to go 1-0 this week.
He perfectly summed up the lines right there. They need to get over the hump of winning. That's a big hump, though. Like, when you're the Detroit Lions, and I forgot this number. Tom reminded me of it earlier in the show. He said that they lost 6 games last year, that they had a lead in the fourth quarter. 6 games. Again, I don't know how Matt Patricia keeps his job after that, but I look at that Lions roster and I see talent. I see a well put together roster there in Detroit. The problem is at the top with Matt Patricia. That dude is just, he's arrogant, obviously smart. I mean, he could have been a rocket scientist, obviously did a great job as defensive coordinator for Bill Belichick for a long time. That doesn't always translate to a great head coach. And I think a lot of these guys off the Belichick tree, they walk in and they think that they're Belichick day one. Belichick earned that, dude. Like, the way that he talks to and treats his guys and walks around with the strut and his cutoff sleeves around the New England Patriots facility, that's not something that he just walked in and was able to do. He earned that over the course of years. And you hear some of the veterans that have departed from Detroit, and they think Matt Patricia is taking liberties that he hasn't necessarily earned with his players. And just the defensive play calling at the end of that game. Look, Mitch Trubisky can't read a defense. He can't read it. He can't read a zone. Like, that's a big weakness for a quarterback, but that's the major weakness in Mitch Trubisky's game. You're up 3 scores and you're playing man? That just doesn't make sense to me. And yeah, they were down to like their third cornerback, but you weren't doing your guys any favors in playing man which Mitch Trubisky is actually pretty good against. And we saw that Sunday against the Lions, pulling off that win that they probably should not have been able to pull off. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, we'll hear from the voice of the Detroit Lions, Dan Miller. You're listening to the Bill Michaels Show. Rami Makhlouf in and back right after this on the Bill Michaels Sports Talk
Live
Network.
Sports are back. Heck, football's back. Did you tailgate over the weekend? Maybe set something up on the patio or out in the driveway? Did you get a hold of our friends at Scholze Family Farms Beef? They've got mouthwatering meats to make your tailgate bash a hit. The Scholze family has been providing delicious pasture-raised beef in Humbert, Wisconsin for three generations, and a wide variety of steaks and roasts and ground beef and even tasty beef snacks just a mouse click away at ScholzeFamilyBeef.com. And your customized order, it's going to be shipped and packed in dry ice, arrive on your doorstep or at the summer cottage or up north, wherever you want it to be, and it's going to stay frozen and fresh for days when you travel. High-quality pasture-raised beef from their family farm to your family table. That is Scholze. Go to ScholzeFamilyBeef.com, S-C-H-O-L-Z-E, ScholzeFamilyBeef.com. And everybody knows you just want to stay home. You would rather not go out and have to go through all the stores and the grocery stores. So go to ScholzeFamilyBeef.com today.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Bill Michaels Show statewide on the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Rami Makhlouf in for Bill today and the next 2 days as he takes some much-deserved time off. Earlier in the show, I had a chance to talk with the voice of the Detroit Lions, Dan Miller, and I asked him, are you even still surprised or hurt or crestfallen when you see the Lions collapse the way that they did Sunday against the Chicago Bears?
Oh, I think surprised and crestfallen. Yeah, I can check both those boxes. yeah, I think when you're up 23-6, even when you have seen things in the past, and I said when it was 23-6, remember they were up 24-6 against Arizona in last year's opener and ended up tying the game.
That's right.
You're
forgot
cognizant
about that.
Of it, but it doesn't mean you expect it to happen. So, you know, you had a pretty significant, series of events to happen for that to fall apart like it did, but it did, and that's you are what your record says you are. You're 0-1, and you had a brutal loss in week one, and now you got an extremely difficult test coming up in week two. So, look, there is a history there. Everybody knows what it is, and there's only one group of guys that can change it, and that's the guys wearing the helmets and the guys coaching the team. So they got to figure out some way to get this thing turned around because, you know, there's history and then there's the last 2 years as well where they have had a large number of games that they've been tied or winning in the fourth quarter that they haven't been able to find a way to get.
I was watching a breakdown from Lawrence Holmes of our sister station down in Chicago, 670, the score of what happened in the fourth quarter of that game. And what he largely attributed it to was sort of the arrogance of Matt Patricia and the defensive coaching staff. Mitch Trubisky notoriously struggles with zone coverages. Matt Patricia likes to play man, but when you're up three scores, why is he still playing man? Has anybody asked him about the strategy on defense in that fourth quarter going against Mitch Trubisky?
Yeah, and he's not going to go into a lot of specifics on stuff like that, like most coaches. He's going to say that, you know, we'll take a look at what we did and we'll try to figure out what went right, what went wrong, and come back with it. I mean, Trubisky wasn't particularly good for three quarters, and then he found a way to catch fire. So credit to him. He threw, you know, terrific passes for touchdowns in the fourth quarter to win that game. And, you know, this has been an ongoing problem with the Lions in that when it's crunch time, they have a very difficult time, A, pressuring a quarterback, B, stopping a quarterback. And that's something that they have to get figured out. And, you know, they had Trubisky on the ropes, and he missed some pretty easy passes early in the game, but credit to him, he made them late, and they've got to figure out how to stop that. They, you know, in their defense, they did lose Justin Coleman during the game. That didn't help. They were already down Jeff Okuda in the game, and then they lost Desmond Trufant in the game. So that's three of their probably top 4 to 5 corners that they lost, and certainly their top two going in. And all of a sudden, Chicago took advantage of that. And that's what they're supposed to do, and they did it. So credit to them.
Is Matt Patricia's – I would assume Matt Patricia's seat is hot this season. They need to see something from him because, like you said, it's been 2 years now of flashes of what that team could be, and I think that's a good roster, Dan, talking with Dan Miller, the voice of the Lions here on the Bill Michaels Show. But never consistency, and really the only thing that is consistent is disappointment and the type of things that we've – that, as you pointed out, we've seen now week one, two seasons in a row, them blowing three-score leads in the fourth quarter.
Well, I think his seat's been hot since last December when ownership came out and said that they will be back, but they need to be playing meaningful games in December. So I think really since that point, people have known that he's on the clock and they have to have a good season. And, you know, there's other things that may go into that decision. But when management comes out and says that, then I think you realize it's a mandate. You've got to win. You got to find some way to be relevant. And, you know, 3-12-1 or something that they put together last year isn't going to get it done. So, yeah, I think the seat is definitely hot. And it's been hot since they put that out there that if it's not looking good in December, then chances are it's not looking good for him to stick around.
I'm sure you've been studying the week one tape of the Packers getting ready for this Sunday's matchup. And I think they surprised some people this week, given the drama of the offseason, them going and getting Jordan Love instead of some offensive help for Aaron Rodgers. There was some friction between Rodgers and LaFleur last year, according to some reports, and that offense sputtered for the majority of that season. Were you surprised by how high a level that Aaron Rodgers and that offense was running on in week one, Dan?
Well, I was surprised when I saw 43 up against Minnesota.
Right.
That certainly surprised me. But I'm not surprised by anything Aaron Rodgers does. I mean, I've been tormented by him for I don't know how long. So I guy's a great player. I'm sure he's motivated. I'm sure when you see them draft a quarterback in the first round, as you guys have probably talked about many, many times, that's going to make a competitor in him just say, you know what, you're going to be sitting for a while because I'm not going anywhere. So it's a good team. They've got weapons. I love what they did with their defense last offseason and bringing the two Smiths in there on the edge. It's a team that's been well put together. And you know, I said going into the season, I thought the two teams to beat were Minnesota and Green Bay. I thought Detroit and Chicago were capable, but they had questions to answer. So, you know, nothing's going to surprise me that the Packers do this year. There's a ton of talent on that team.
What problems do you think the Packers present for the Lions, and what problems do you think the Lions present for the Packers in this week two matchup, Dan?
Well, I mean, starts with the Lions are beat up at cornerback, and that's not a good place to be when you're going into a game against Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
I'm not sure which of those guys are going to play. We know Justin Coleman won't because he went on injured reserve. So, you know, he knows that. We know that. That's what Green Bay is going to go after. And the Lions didn't do a good job stopping the run early against Chicago either. It didn't translate into points, but Chicago was really grinding things up on the ground. And I think that's where we'll have to wait and see if the Lions can tighten that thing up. If they don't, and all of a sudden you've got that, you know, group of running backs running successfully against the Lions, then Rodgers can freeze everybody for a second with play action. It can be a long day. So that's where I think the Lions really have to concentrate. And offensively, look, for the Lions, their strength is Matthew Stafford. If they're going to win this game, the chances are probably that Stafford's going to have a big game, and they're going to have to put up a lot of points and find some way to outscore Green Bay. And, but you never know what to expect. I mean, if you go back to the Monday night game last year between, you know, Green Bay and Detroit going in, that you might have thought that was going to be a high-scoring game, and it wasn't. And, you know, it was two highly questionable calls that allowed Green Bay to get out of there with a win. I don't think a lot of people expected the Lions to necessarily be there on a Monday night in Green Bay at that point, but they were. So, you know, the Lions are a team that, as much as you don't know what to expect out of them, they sometimes throw one at you that you didn't see coming. So they got their work cut out for them. Look, this is a team that is coming off a brutal loss in week one, going up against a team that put up a confidence-inspiring win in week one. So we'll roll it out there and see what happens, but you know, there's certainly things on paper that the Lions are really going to have to do and improve upon to beat a team like Green Bay.
That's the voice of the Detroit Lions, Dan Miller, joining us here on the Bill Michaels Show. Again, if you missed any of that or any of our interviews like Tom Pelissero or James Jones, the former Packer wide receiver, just go to BillMichaelsSports.com. We will wrap things up with Rami Makhlouf coming up next here on the Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veteran Services Department. Learn how to use your military benefits at cuw.edu/veterans. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers host the Lions on Sunday. Detroit coming off an embarrassing 27-3 loss to the Bears after blowing a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter. Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari.
About Detroit, they do play us up. They are a tough football team. They play hard. It's just they have a hard time getting over that hump.
Veteran guard Lane Taylor tweeted out a message to Packer fans and pledged he'll be back after suffering a season-ending injury to his right knee against the Vikings. Packers center Corey Linsley.
We feel for him, man. He was having a hell of a camp. He's playing well. We feel for him at this time and do everything we can to support him.
Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Injury that he had last year and to get to a position where he was in our starting lineup. Certainly he will be missed, and I feel bad for him as an athlete, as a man.
Left guard Lucas Patrick left the game with a shoulder injury. Rookie John Runyon filled in at right guard after Taylor was carted off the field.
Two of your teammates going down, something you never want to see, and it was unfortunate, but I just stayed ready and tried to do my best when my time came and felt pretty good about it.
In Green Bay, I'm Mike Clemens on the Bill Michaels Show.
Final segment of the Bill Michaels Show with Rami Makhlouf in for Bill today, tomorrow, and Friday. 3-day stint for your boy filling in for Bill, the big selfish in for the big unit. And I gotta admit, Joseph, doing a 4-hour shift was not really my bag, dude. Like when I was up in Minnesota, I was doing two separate 2-hour shifts every day. So I do 2 hours, have a 2-hour break, then another 2-hour shift. So I can do 4 hours, but this marathon of a 4-hour shift, it's not necessarily, like I said, in my golf bag. And doing 3 days of 4-hour shifts, you might have to carry me out of here by the end of Friday. Just saying. I'm exhausted right now. I sit here before you mentally exhausted, sir. I need a nap.
Look, I got to say, you were able to get through these 4 hours in flying colors. So I'm not really worried about you.
And flying solo? Bill does this every day?
Every day.
Good God, man. Like this is some heavy lifting, dude.
I've filled in on this show hosting solo. I did it on Labor Day.
This is heavy lifting.
I mean, yeah, it's.
I didn't get into this line of work to, you know, work. That's not what I had in mind when I started doing this.
Stop. You're talking sports. All right, now I got to just say shut up. Like, seriously, there's people listening right now that are like, dude, just shut up. You're sports.
I'm kidding, obviously. I'm glad to be working anywhere right now, right? Mm-hmm. I'm basically unemployed, so I'm glad anytime anybody gives me a microphone to talk into, I'm more than glad to grab that microphone and rant. And well, that's exactly what I've done here today.
It's nice to do a show with the Big Selfish anytime.
I appreciate it. I do have to, before we wrap this thing up, got to eat a little bit of crow. And the last time I filled in on the Bill Michaels Show, I said, even though they were down 3-1 at the time to the Miami Heat, I said, you know what? Screw it. I'm sticking to my prediction that the Bucks are in the finals, because I filled in for Bill twice before that, and I spoke about it as though it were a foregone conclusion. Go ahead, pencil them in. They're coming out of the East. They're going to the finals. Fret not, Bucks fans. Don't worry about it. There's nobody in the East that can stop this freight train that is Giannis. Because I always just 99 times out of 100, you ask me to predict a playoff series in the NBA, I'm going to take the team that has the best player. And the Bucks had the best player in Giannis. I did not see that series playing out the way that it played out. But I said, I'm not back here for 10 days. Why not stick to the prediction? What's going to happen? But I'm a man of my word. I'm a man of honor. And I'm here to eat crow today and say I was all wrong, man. I was all wet on that series, obviously. And I'm having a hard time explaining it. We're going to get more into the Bucks on tomorrow's show. And Eric Name from The Athletic, who's got a piece today, talking with some behind the scenes of the latest meeting between Giannis, Mark Lazary, and the Bucks Brain Trust. He's going to join us at 10:35 tomorrow. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what went wrong in that series and really in the NBA playoffs, which have just been chaos. I'm having a hard time, like, when we're just talking about the basketball of it all, explaining how you lost that series to the Miami Heat. They presented a tough matchup. I understand that. They shoot the three very well. They're very gritty and tough and hard-nosed and make things hard for Giannis and anybody else to get into that paint. That block by Bam Adebayo last night, just ridiculous, dude. Just like cold-blooded, ruthless. Like, Jason Tatum's soul is still on the floor of that court right now. Like, so that's what you were dealing with in that series. I said the whole time it wasn't going to be an easy series. I thought Miami presented more of a problem for the Bucks than anybody else in the East, but man, I did not see it playing out that way. And obviously the Giannis injury didn't help, but they were already in a bad place before Giannis went down with that injury. So I'm here today, Rami Makhlouf, a.k.a. the Big Selfish, filling in for Bill Michaels, a.k.a. the Big Unit, and saying, I'm here to eat crow. I was wrong. Sorry if you took my word at face value and we're already celebrating an Eastern Conference championship. And really, really sorry, like, if you put money down. But that's kind of your fault. Don't ever put money down on what I say. I'm not that smart. Like, it's never a good idea to lay money down on what Rami Makhlouf says. I'm here to entertain you. I'm not the gambling guy. If you're in Milwaukee, those guys are on in the morning. They'll tell you where to put your money if you want to find that out. But I'm not that dude. I'm just here to have hot takes and opinions and a few good one-liners here and there, entertain you for 4 hours while Bill is God knows where, taking some time off right now.
He's in Tomahawk.
Tomahawk?
Tomahawk.
What's the Big Unit doing in Tomahawk?
He's just hiding up in the woods.
Not a bad idea right now.
No, I mean, I talked to him this morning. He's like, yeah, we're like out in the woods and we're by a lake. How we looking? I mean, that's it. That's it.
Looking pretty good, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I would imagine looking pretty. Actually, I see Bill's gym selfies and he is looking pretty good. That new male is working out for him.
Yeah, he claims he's at his high school weight. So
I believe it.
Yeah, I mean,
I believe it.
That's pretty cool.
Looking slim and trim. Svelte, if you would.
How are we looking?
But seriously, I can't, to this day, I can't still totally explain away what happened to the Bucks and why I was so damn wrong. Like, not even just a little bit wrong. It's not like the Bucks took it to 7 games and the Heat pulled it out. I was like really, really damn wrong for a team I had in the finals to lose in 5 games in the second round. Like, I wasn't even close, dude. I wasn't even close. I'm here to eat all the crow.
And it wasn't even a hot take.
I mean, like that hot,
You were spitting the truth, Rami. That's where they should be.
It's a little bit hot in these parts because
right.
People never want to hear that about their team. They're like, oh, you're jinxing them, dude. What are you doing?
Shut
you know
up.
This is going to go wrong.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this time I can't really argue with them. It went terribly, terribly wrong.
No, they're done.
I'll try not to jinx any more of your teams as I'm in for Bill for the next 2 days. Rami Makhlouf, it's been a pleasure, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow on the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. I'm not going to try the see you thing. I'm not doing it.
Stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.